calendar, and the audit meeting minutes and warrants of December 20th, 2016, and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of December 20th, 2016, made by Director Israel, seconded by Director Louie. Director Louie?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wardo?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Director.
Aye. Next item, I don't think the water lines met last month, so we have no report.
No report, we do meet this month. The meeting for the IRWM was canceled, so no updates.
Okay. Manager report, Mr. Louie?
Last Thursday on the 12th, we had a rupture below grade PRV, which is a pressure reduction valve vault on Bonita. Pass this around. When I'm passing around, there's one of the few pilot and tubing that ruptured, and they were copper, and it's been replaced with stainless steel. But the below grade vault completely flooded, and John Kennedy, who's the supervisor for the transportation land management for Riverside County, they're the guys who have a crew out here grading the shoulder of the road constantly. And he said they ran over the manhole and water squirted up. And he goes, oh, yeah, I don't think we damaged anything, but you might want to go check it out. Well, apparently that and three other, the pilot and copper tubings sprung a leak. Those two little discs, those were actually, the reason why I gave you an entire tubing is they flare those coppers, and each time they would loosen or unloosen it, or just with time and friction of the water and the calcification, it actually erodes and it'll loosen up those nipples. And that's what those are. Those are the nipples from the tubing. So after I assessed it, and I had, well, actually, he volunteered, our new employee volunteered to go down into the flooded vault and shut off the valves that were affecting it. So the, I designed this building, or put in my input during the design of this building. I said, we need a shower, because I'm able to, you know, just go home and if I had a situation like that. And I asked David if he had brought his change of clothes, and he said, you know what, I just took it out over the weekend. So I will, well, you go back to him, or go home to him, and you can change. But I like to praise him on that. And we shut off that, and clay valve came out, and again they replaced it with the stainless steel tubing. And so well, you drove by, Director Davis drove by, and he was there. The other...
Was there any skate in the hole that got damaged?
What's that?
Any skate devices in there?
No, that one has no skate.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably back in the 60s or the 70s, because it's the old manhole where you have to get a pretty good claw or hook to lift that manhole, is and it's solid cast iron steel, you know, metals, and totally non-compliant to OSHA. And that's another thing that we'll have to address in the future.
Yeah, because that's considered a confined space.
So. Yeah, yeah. The other thing we have going, I will, when we get to the rate study, I'm going to do either a short PowerPoint and give you guys a short briefing on why we need to look at raising the rates even more. Currently, the three production wells that the community depends on, two of them are down, and one is iffy. Number one, well two, which is at Robinson, at the Robinson Cement Plant. Originally, it started with just the breaker, the main breaker, which is a $3,400 breaker. It burnt out. And later on, we discovered the cause of that breaker being burnt out was because the 250 horsepower electronic motor pump burnt out, which caused a bad electricity go backwards, and of course, you know, the breakers, the safety part. And so we're looking at tomorrow, they're bringing a crane, and we have a replacement, and that replacement was rebuilt 10 years ago when I first became general manager. So that's about the life expectation of electronic motors that are, and so we're looking at possibly $20,000 to $70,000 for that repair. That's to replace the crane rental and rebuilding, so we have another spare as a backup.
Now, who's taking care of the rebuilding? Who's sending the motor out, you or the pump company?
We have Legend Well and Pump that's going to remove and replace, and Britnitz Electronic
is,
yeah.
Colton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll be rebuilding it. The other issue that we have is Well 1. There's a small little box, they think, that's the cause, that's automatically triggers the process of producing water. It's not the SCADA itself, it's what they call a Miltronics, and it's a little electronic box, and it stages and times when the well comes on. How long the waste valve stays open and closes. It automatically turns on the chlorinator and automatically puts the water, turns off the waste valve, and then transmits the water to the reservoir or the tank. And they believe that has gone out. And the cost would be under $5,000, but they'll try to hunt down a spare, and then they'll reassess if it can be rebuilt, or we just got to buy a brand new one. Well 5, which is the one in the building on Sono, south of the center. That constantly shuts down because, and the warning light that shows is a phase loss IOL trip. It's been constantly doing more and more. It was happening every couple months. Now it's about once a month to probably every 2 weeks.
Does that have a frequency drive on it? Or is that just contact?
No, it's contact.
Okay, so then we need to check the incoming from Edison to make sure that they don't have a loose connection in the wall.
They have that scheduled with Edison, plus they think possibly it's the soft start. What happened is the two or three soft start that we upgraded to are Hitachis, and this was replaced when Chelsea owned the center, just before the transition of Simon buying them out, and just before, you know, we took over, and it's just some generic soft start, and they think that's given out, and that's why that phase loop
phase lock
IOL trip keeps triggering, because it's a protective measure. So there you go. Well 4, and this is where I reiterate about redundancy. You know, I'll be monitoring the well 2 or well 5, and if it gives up, then I'll be out tonight replacing installing the chlorinator at well 4 and firing it up. And that'll be the only reliable well this community has right now.
You got soft start on any of the other wells that are down right now?
Yeah, that's it. Well 4, it's the reason why I don't have the chlorinator installed is because it's unprotected. So why have, you know, an expensive piece of equipment out there unprotected?
The well three is Robertson's, correct?
Well, two.
Well, two. Now, that one has a frequency drive on it.
No, that's soft start, too.
Okay, yeah. But that pump is down right now.
That's because of the motors broke
okay.
out.
So what horsepower is that motor? 250?
Yep.
What's the horsepower is well five?
Well five, 250.
Okay, so why don't we take the soft start out of five and put it in two, or take the soft start out of two and put it in five? That puts that pump back up on service, back online.
I think maybe I could suggest that to you, but they're trying to make that determination because you know, we have Edison coming tomorrow and all that, 8:30 in the morning, and the crane and all that, so.
Well, if they put an end pipe on all three legs of the output of that soft start versus the input, it can be tested. It's a, this is what I do at work all day long. It's kind of a catch-22. I can't come and work on it and fix it because I'm the president of the board.
Well, would you like to step down?
Well, no, it's just this.
I'm just kidding.
No, I understand, but here, you know, I'm just throwing some ideas out here that can get this system up and running. Mm-hmm. You know, and hey, we're already going to have the cost involved in this. So if we can take that soft start out of well two and put it in well five and be back up and running in a day, we have increased our redundancy. Mm-hmm. If I have to, I'll bring my tools. And I can legally volunteer my time wherever I want.
That's right, you can.
Yeah, well, four is the only 150 horsepower motor we have, and but it produces only 300 gallons per minute. Where I mean 12 hours, two tanks, that'll go 3 feet, but. It's more water. You know, it's
just
replenishing.
Just turn it on and leave it on.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
No, we can't leave it on. Anything after 8 in the morning, you know, we get fined.
How old is this?
That's probably BC, before Calvin. Because everything that during my time that I replaced, you know, I had them put stainless steel. And that's my management report for today.
Okay, old business, sustainable groundwater update.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. We didn't have a meeting of the past group that's putting together the Groundwater Sustainability Agency over the holiday period, but we did have one meeting with a couple of folks and a call from the Department of Water Resources, and the issue was whether or not we can include within the Groundwater Sustainability Agency all the tribal ground, because the tribe is there and you know, they have mixed feelings about whether they want their ground included as part of the GSA. Frankly, what DWR said was that yes, you can include their land within the filing you make with DWR, but you can't order them to do anything. So even though their land, their reservation land, would be potentially in the GSA and that, we'll see if the tribe's willing to agree to that. It doesn't change the fact that there's no way a local agency could ever order a federally recognized tribe what to do. So we can put it on the map and we can cross our fingers, but we can't tell them if to give us all their information or anything like that. So that's where we're headed. With that, all we need now is for the tribe to give us their final go-ahead on the fact that we're going to include their land if they agree to that, and then the document is in the process of being written up, the agreement. Right before, in December, we had a bunch of bullet points and we're almost done with the term sheet kind of thing, but now it's all being written up, and my understanding talking to the other attorney today was that we'll probably have a meeting in the next couple of weeks, probably finalize that document within about a month or so, and then we'll be back at this board probably February or March, probably February, with the final version of that agreement for the board to approve.
Have you had any communication with the tribe concerning that?
In earlier meetings, John Covington, you know, is their representative, and he comes to all the meetings, and he said he initially talked to their attorneys about it, and they were okay with that concept, but it, you know, it depends on what the management over there thinks. So the attorney over there is okay with it, and John is sort of the mid-management's okay with it, but they got to send it up the food chain, and we haven't heard from up them yet.
We need a good neighbor policy.
Well, what's interesting about the tribe is one thing they said was, hey, if you guys are going to have to go do one of these groundwater sustainability plans, you'll do yours, but then we're going to do ours as well. They're going to do one themselves, which is interesting that they're going to do it themselves. And we asked, well, if you're going to do it yourselves, can we see it when you're done with it so we know what you're proposing? And I think they've basically said, well, no, that's, you know, confidential information. So we'll see where it all plays out. It's obviously, this is an interesting basin when you have a big tribe involved who owns, you know, over a third of the ground. It'll play itself out. But I think our attitude has been to date, we got to walk hand in hand with them, right? We got to keep them happy. We got to keep the state happy. If we were to walk away, that's just going to put more scrutiny on us and cause the state to get a little more upset with us. So it's better to walk hand in hand and do the best we can and build some relationships with them. Thank you. That's all I have.
The next one was a customer concern on concerning Mountain Dew, Mr. Breyer's petition for the board.
Yes.
Please turn the mic on.
There you go. Good evening, everybody. My dispute is, it started in with my bill, and
one moment, please. Teresa has an emergency at home. She has to leave. Okay, so just make a record. Okay. All right, sorry, sir.
No problem. My dispute is for my bill on 9/9 of this year for $72.89. The previous month, my usage was only $800. And then the following month, where the bill was $72.89, it was $1,800. So it went up over $1,000. That's actually up $700 from the previous year. The following month, it's up $400 from the previous year. I am disputing this because in 2015, I had myself, my fiance, and my son living in the house. Now I just met myself. I'm gone on the weekends, so basically it's only 5 days a week that I'm washing dishes, showering. That's a lot less laundry. I'm watering less. My dog passed away last year, so I'm not as worried about the grass being green for her. So I'm really confused on how my water has gone up. I've caught leaks in the past, fixed them myself, and my bill, I think with my worst leak, it barely hit $70. So with that, I'm just disputing it being correct. I know that there's been times where I've pulled weeds near the box and the meter, and opened the meter to pull the weeds, seeing that there's dirt and trash and stuff on it, and I've left it there, gone back the following month, pull weeds, and there's still the same trash and everything. So I'm questioning if it is actually getting red on a monthly basis. Seeing that $800 in August of this year, and then it jumping to $1,800 the following, that kind of makes me wonder, that not get red, and now I'm kind of getting penalized for it being red.
Well, I see here where you're talking about, it said 23,7200 on the reading.
Yes.
But if I look at it, by the end of the year, you still have the sum total is all there. Okay, so if we advertise it over the 4 months, you're still, the water usage has gone through the meter. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the chances of there being a misread or not read are very slim, because I see the guy out there all the time reading. I drive by my place and he's holding me reading the meter. And we haven't had any other complaints like that on your street saying that people, their meter readings are way off or anything like that. So how would you, and now you're back down to the 900. How do you explain going from 800 up to 1800 and back down to 900?
Exactly.
How could that be a meter reading issue?
Because, well, that's what I'm questioning.
Yeah, I don't think that is. I, to be honest with you, I understand what you're saying. My bill, because of a horse knocking the pipe off or playing with the valve opening, my bill is usually, I think it was $140 last month and stuff. But I attribute that to just my not getting things caught in time.
Yeah.
My question is did, in Berkeley, did your sprinkler timer go off and you didn't know about
it? No, I've actually only watered by hand this year.
Okay.
I'd actually go out, smoke a cigarette, and that's as long as I would water.
So,
last year I had sprinklers.
So what?
I'd run them for about 20 minutes. So.
So what is it you're asking of the district?
I'm just asking, you know, I don't agree with the charge. I mean, I can see if there was that 1 month where it was high, and that was a month. Maybe I did extra laundry, cleaned up the house, got all the clothes and blankets and everything together for the winter, did all that, it's still hot, water maybe a little extra, left the water, you know, trickling overnight on the rose bush or something, but it didn't really go down that much the next month. So if there was that one big month, okay, I don't really agree with it, but I'll, like, you know, concede it. For it to be staying high, I, like I said, it's just myself.
Okay. There's two options. We do nothing, or you can have the meter tested, and if it comes back bad, we absorb you. But okay, so you test the meter. We can have the meter tested, and if it passes, you pay the cost of testing. If it doesn't pass, then something else can be done. So there, otherwise, the district has a resolution stating that we do not, what is the word I want to use? Forgive an excess usage of water. Do you understand what I'm
saying?
Yeah.
Can
I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you have forced air, or is it soft chlor?
Soft chlor.
Did you notice any leaks or extra water around it?
It actually, my swamp cooler, the float doesn't work like it should. So I have a rock sitting to where it drips just enough during the summer. I've been here 15 years, so I have the cooling of the house as down as I can possibly get it. So to answer your question, no, there's been nothing extra from years in the past. The hotter days, it doesn't have anything come out of it. The cooler days, it doesn't evaporate as much, so there is a little of the overflow, but nothing any more than any other year.
Do you have a comment, Mr. Louie?
Nope. Have you seen, we're looking at this chart have you seen that?
Yes.
And so the month that you're talking about seems to be like the outlier where it's low here?
Yes.
And
so it went from real low to real high.
Well, no, it was high before then. and then dips down, and then comes back up.
And those are all months that it's warm. And like I said, I basically had a routine in the evening once it cooled off. The sun was almost down. I'd go out, smoke a cigarette, and water the front yard.
So are you concerned that the 800 is an erroneous reading?
I'm concerned of the 7289 followed by the
84.
The wasn't it actually 66? And then followed by the 60 where in the past I've been in the 50s. All right, so that's with three people in the house and a dog. And now it's just myself, and like I said, I'm not even there on the weekends. I'm always at my girlfriend's house, so I'm only there 20 days out of the month. Where before, there was three people there 7 days a week.
Okay.
Maybe somebody could be tapping into his water.
Well, that's one of the other questions I had, is my neighbor had a leak, and I called on it, and it was broken right on the other side of the valve or the reader, and so it ended up getting fixed. I'm wondering if somehow in there something happened because there was a new box put in. I don't know if anything.
No, they wouldn't change the meter because the meters are they in the same box, yours and your neighbor's?
Yes.
Yeah, see, the meters actually have a registration number on them so that they're registered each account, so somebody can't go and swap them out.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So.
And I've even asked my neighbor across the street. She's been there for, I don't know, 10 years, and it's her and her daughter. And her bill is lower than mine. And that just, it blows me away that, you know, I'm there by myself and, you know, not to be sexist, but
yeah,
I'm a guy and
you don't
I won't wash my clothes anywhere near what women do. You know, I lived with mine for 12 years and I know any chance that washer could run, it ran. I bought two of them while she was there. So, you know, they're always, I always see them in the garage washing clothes. And I do once a week.
Well, what I would suggest first is to go look at the meter and make sure that little triangle is not moving.
Okay.
Okay? Because maybe that you potentially have a little bit of a leak somewhere. But the other thing is, it's like the 800 doesn't seem right to go from 15 to 800 up to 1800. It
yes.
may have been a misread on the meter. What do you?
There's a possibility. I haven't heard anything that there was.
And I know the rates have gone up, so you know it goes up a little bit here and there.
The usage, just looking at the account history, if there is a visual trend.
Yeah, but the dip of 700 cubic feet, and then to go back up to 1800 cubic feet. That's a big difference.
It is, but I mean, we don't know. I mean,
yeah.
You could have been on vacation somewhere else.
I wish
I don't know.
Vacation.
But the usage, if you look at the meter reading, it has consistently gone up.
Yeah.
So.
We're not allowed by ordinance to do any adjustments because if something happens on your side. The problem is we don't know whether it was a misread on the 15 to 800 to the 1800. But all the other numbers, like they say, are consistent with previous. I understand that there's not somebody there, but I would suggest looking, open the cover, look in there at the dial, and you'll see a little blue triangle.
Yeah, it hasn't been moving up. I haven't looked this month, but last month I haven't.
Well, monitor that and make sure you don't have a leak, because I've been having issues since I have horses and dogs and chicken and all that, finding leaks. So, but as far as adjustments, we can't make any adjustments to this based on ordinance, because it's on your side of the meter, unless the meter is proven to be defective.
Okay. And if it's not, then I have to pay twice.
You have to pay for the meter.
But basically,
yeah,
I have to
the
pay.
Testing.
I have to pay the high bills plus the test.
If Mr. Byer would like his meter tested, the district does require a $75 deposit up front first. If the meter comes back and it tests faulty, we refund that. The district refunds that deposit for you. If the meter comes back that it is running correctly, then the district keeps that $75. So it's entirely different.
What would happen at that point if it was faulty as far as the bill?
If it was faulty, the technicians would tell us how faulty the meter was. If it was by a small percentage, we would review your account and most likely adjust it by that small percentage. If it was reading outrageously, then we would make an adjustment accordingly. But just by looking at the trends of usage, and seeing how at the end of December you use 900 cubic feet of water, which does follow your previous year's trends, it's most likely reading correct or very close to correct.
Other than it's gone up this year over last year with two less people.
If that 900 cubic feet was, if you have some outrageous figures right here, that's more of an indicator that it is a faulty meter, but because it looks very close to last year's,
as far as the
trend goes, okay, it looks like it's probably reading more accurate.
Yeah, but I would question it too. If I was in his shoes, going from 1500 to 800 and then back up to 1800,
that's
questionable.
Yeah,
big question.
Is that a meter misread? Based on the trending that you're showing.
And with it being still being in summer, I know that I was going out there and watering. I don't know if it was maybe a little less that month or more the next, but I haven't watered my lawn since probably beginning of September.
Okay, so if it was a misread of the meter, what do we go? How do we handle that?
The district could take those 2 months, the August and July, or August and September, and then just average the two out. So if there is an adjustment found, which you took either the 1500 and added it to the 800, or if you took the 1800 and added it to the 800. Divided by 2, that would give you your average. So you may have a slight adjustment, which could be either you owe a little bit more or you would owe a little bit less. In that case, if you owe less, there would be a slight credit, but it's not going to be anything substantial.
Could you please look at the trend and as sum the averages? Because August is always going to be a little more than July. But so I'm wondering if the September one would be, just the differential would be probably 300 or 400 cubic feet.
So you'd like us to review August and September's and the average for the two?
Well, I'm seeing a 1,000 cubic foot difference.
Yeah.
So I'm speculating if that was adjusted up to near 1500, you would only have a $5 or $6 difference, if I'm guessing right.
Yes.
Do you see where I'm coming from here?
Yeah.
If they were to misread the meter at 7200, and then the next month you see that it's 1800 difference, if I put it close to what you had last year. In August, if you look in August last year, you had 1950, approximately. Well, let's see. August.
Yeah, it was 1900.
You see, you've got a 700 difference jump, and then it drops down another 800 in August, September last year. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So, if anything, there might have been a number mystery on the August one, and if that's adjusted, that would bring your August number up closer to the $66. So let's just say up to $60, and that would drop your other one down to about $68. So
basically, it washes.
That's what I'm seeing. Does that make sense?
Yes. If I did want it tested, how much time do I have to decide on that?
You would just go to the.
Oh, whenever you, if you decide by the end of the month, that's no big deal. Just have it tested.
Okay. All right.
Is it worth the $10?
The possibility of spending $75 and then
yeah.
Still owing for the past due amount. That's
have you checked your meter yet?
Yes, I have looked at it.
And
see if it's spinning, it's not spinning.
If you feel like doing it again, my suggestion is anything that uses water to to run, whether it's a sink or your or any kind of appliances that require water, you turn those off. And you go out there and you look at that little triangle, and if it's slightly turning, then it's probably, and the other thing that'd be consuming water would be your water heater or your bath or your bathtub or your swamp cooler. Because I think you said you have a rock, but it still leaks or drips or something?
Well, I have it to where instead of a float allowing it to go high or low, I basically have the rock to where it has just a small drip.
Okay.
To where it keeps it full enough to where it.
Do you have that thing dripping 24/7 throughout the whole year?
No, just through the summer.
Okay.
It shut off at the little petcock down on the hose bib.
But during the summer, you allow it to drip.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be cheaper to buy a new float?
No, because the float doesn't really work in the old. It's an old swamp cooler.
The reason why I asked that is
it actually drips more.
Because the reason why I asked that is that with a small drip that's constant 24 hours a day, you can waste up to 90 gallons per day.
Yes.
That's
actually drips more.
I can tell you why that is. You're on Mountain View. Your water pressure is probably close to where mine is upwards of 90 psi. And that's coming off of a line that comes into the house before there's a pressure regulator. So if your line is pressure regulated down to about 45 psi, the floats last longer and work better.
Okay.
So I took in on my system, on my house, everything that's, because my line comes in, it goes to the house, and then but it splits before the house and goes around to the animals. I put a regulator in down to 20 psi because I have 9 floats for the horses and the cows. And I was constantly fighting that same thing.
Yeah.
So that was just done this week. So now I can go and just go like that and put my finger on it and stop the water running into the pipe.
Yeah.
So for future reference. So. Yeah, if you want to have the meter checked, just make arrangements and they'll come in, they'll take your meter out, put another one in, and have it tested. But the numbers will start over. The numbers won't be corresponding with these numbers. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because the meter they put in will have a different number sequence. So they'll start.
Yeah. Like buying a new car.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dollar changes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I guess that's it. Thank you very much for your time.
You have a nice evening, Mr. Bartok.
Thank you. You too.
I hope we helped.
I hope so too.
Thank you. Next item is water rate study update. Special meeting regarding water rate study to be held the 31st. Let's see. Matt, do you have a comment on that, Mr. Louie? Or is this for the whole board, or is it an ad hoc, or?
What we plan to do is have you appoint two members on the board to attend the ad hoc, and Cindy and myself and I guess somebody from MBS will be present, and we'll give you a detailed presentation, and that way you guys, whomever the two board members, they can have an informed recommendation to the board, and then we'll do it again for the entire board the following Thursday. Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday the 31st. Yeah. At what time?
So the ad hoc would be next Tuesday, though. 24th.
Okay.
What time is the one of the 31st?
Yeah, see, see here it only shows the special meeting. It doesn't say anything about the ad hoc.
You don't have to agendize an ad hoc meeting. Okay. So if you were to appoint an ad hoc committee, you could just have it on the 24th at a time of your convenience, and you don't have to agendize
it. So you want me and two other board members?
Oh, whatever.
Two board members max. Can't have three.
Oh, okay.
Only two. That would be for the 24th, just the two people. And then on the 31st, all five of you show up.
Okay. So do you want... she's an analytical... pit dog, do you want
to
pit bull?
I agree to that.
Is that okay with you? Oh, I can appoint whoever I want. You.
You can.
That's the 24th?
Yes.
So is she a one-person committee, or are there two members of the committee?
I'm the second.
Oh, you're appointing yourself. Okay, thank you.
What's this ad hoc for?
Budget. It's an ad hoc budget committee, water rates. It's more of water rate than budget, but...
Okay.
What time?
What
time you want to meet?
6?
That's what time we told MBS, but we can meet at 6 on the 24th. Okay. Next item for discussion, Mr. R.D. Cash. Mr. Cash. Action. Do you suggest we hold off, or?
We show Mr. Cash the courtesy of, you know, sending him a written statement, which is included in this memo, just to basically he wanted the board to maybe consider discounting his overcharge, well, he considers overcharge, that he actually had a leak, and then the second time there was an undetected leak because he went out and read the wrong meter, and he thought it was fixed.
Okay, so
he's just basically asking for the board's mercy, really. Yeah.
Just like he used
and what escalated his effort is when I went out there to follow up on it. Let me remind the board, we have a new crew now, and I used to be on top of everything because I had to approve everything that, you know, a contractor did. Now, apparently the parts and the meter was already in stock, so they did not inform me that they not only changed over Mr. Artie Cash's water meter, but they also relocated it. And I was not aware of that, and I also read the wrong meter.
Okay.
But he did legitimately have a leak, though.
All the numbers were resolved?
Yeah.
So,
and just to show that there was no, well, he's not related, but there was no friendship or anything. I love, you know, Mrs. Lima Sue, gathered all the facts, including my statement, and she made a recommendation, which I agree with.
Okay. So what is the recommendation?
Well, I didn't put the recommendation in the packet. I just put the facts that I found. Mr. Cash basically had a tremendous, enormous leak in the Pipers.
Yeah.
The customer account rep tried contacting him several times. She was really worried because it was a huge leak. She told when she did get a hold of him and he did fix it, she told him, okay, this first bill, which was I think $200 or $300, it's a big bill, but that's just the icing on the cake. The real extent of this water burst, you're not going to see until the following month, which is that enormous bill. So when Mr. Cash read his meter, even though he read the wrong meter with the general manager, at that point in time, even if they had read the correct meter, the leak had already been fixed and it had already been resolved. So reading the wrong or right meter, that had no bearing on his bill.
Okay. So he's on an extended payment plan.
He's on an extension currently.
Okay.
So we found the leak and tried to get a hold of him?
Our meter reader found the leak. He took the meter reading, brought it to the customer account rep. She noticed it was an extremely high reading. So, no, this is wrong. Go reread it. They reread it and they went up higher. And that's when they discovered there was
a leak. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long before we got a hold of him?
She called him about 7 or 8 times.
I mean,
that
was it
same
a day? Was it a week?
It was within a day, within 24 hours.
Okay.
He did have a family member die too, so that was probably why you guys had a hard time getting home.
She left messages, she blue tagged him.
Yeah, she sent the technician to the house to bang on the door too.
She even did that.
What is blue tagging mean?
Blue tag is just a tag. It's a notice we put on their fence, gate, or door if we're not able to contact them any other way. It's a courtesy note.
Yeah, I believe it was in November, I think it was.
Oh, that's when Debbie died.
Yeah.
But that was, okay, so.
That's probably why you guys have problems.
I'm going to presume that to your best of your knowledge, he's okay with the situation now, or do we want to table this until next month, give him the opportunity to come in?
He came into the office to make payment earlier today.
Uh-huh.
He didn't say anything to Ellen about this.
Okay.
We told him that this is going to be on this agenda, so he didn't say anything. So.
Okay, so then I just make it as a no action. No action means that it's dropped, right?
Well, you can deny his claim formally, and that means it's done forever unless you want to reconsider it. If you take no action, it's sort of like tabling it, where you're just, if you say no action, it's not on the agenda next time, but tabling it means it'll go back on the agenda next month. So those are your options.
What is he not asking for anything? It's just a summary of facts.
Well, he's concerned about the meter being the wrong meter, right? You didn't have a dispute about the leak or the loss of water, it's the meter.
My understanding is, Calvin, correct me if I'm wrong, he thought that if they had read the correct meter, his bill, he would have been able to catch the leak a little sooner, and the bill would have been a little bit less.
Well, him and Calvin were the ones that went out and read the wrong meter. Our meter reader went and read the right meter.
Correct.
And then Alan said go back and read it more, and then tried to get a hold of it.
But
Calvin and RD went and read the wrong meter. So
they went and read the wrong meter after.
After the fact that
the leak had been found and fixed. Yes. There was a misunderstanding on RD's part.
Okay. Just to let the board know that I've been taking corrective action on changing the procedure over about communication, both verbal and written.
Well, if he's okay with, the payment plan and how it's going now, then I think that it should be done.
So you want to deny any?
Yeah.
Okay, well, any motion?
I make the motion, go ahead and drop.
Deny.
No.
Second.
So motion to deny Mr. Link's claim, or petition to
Mr. Cash.
Wait a minute. I haven't claimed anything. I own my issues.
Hey, it's been a long day for Riley.
A motion to deny Mr. Cash's petition to discount or forgive his account balance on his property at Aloma, made by Director Israel, seconded by Director Davis. Roll call vote. Director Bowie is absent. Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
I'm an abstain.
Abstain?
Yeah.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Director Lee?
Aye. We need a reason why.
I want to hear what he has. I'm not seeing any of this. He knows how to come to the board. I'm not seeing any claim here, so I don't know.
Well, it says right here.
I kind of think he wants
discussion action. Forgive or discount his account balance. That's right there on the agenda from on the. Right.
Okay, but in what he presented, I'm not seeing any of that in
in
his letter to the board.
He did not draft the letter.
Okay, he didn't draft the letter.
It's passed.
Anyway. Yes. Yeah.
And if it makes you feel better, if he comes in next month and asks you to reconsider it, you have the opportunity to do that.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a written phone, I guess you could say. This is our annual bailiff.
Yes. Correct.
At least he followed your direction from last time. He's coming in earlier.
Very early.
Can we just go ahead and deny this and just leave it at that?
Well, this doesn't come up. When is the actual?
August.
Well, this in some respect could be part of the water rate study, but how much do we get from him per year or from that parcel?
I have to look it up, but I think it's about $1,000. Huh?
I think it's a little more.
A little more?
They're rather large parcels.
Yeah.
And they're not buildable either on some of them.
Yeah, but just like I said last time, okay, you know, if you agree to forgive him, then he's going to have a long line of other property owners coming in here. And then that'll result in ratepayers absorbing the costs. And if the board, whether it's this board or future board, decides that, well, we're missing this income, you would have to go through, you know, a Prop 218 hearing, and that can be costly too.
On this parcel, it says that he was claiming that it was so sloped, it was kind of it's part of the mountain section, right? So some of it's sloped. And then in some of the paperwork that you, I think, presented about the different property types. How much of it is a 15? How sloped is the property? Why isn't that here? How sloped is the property? Is he getting those discounts of $15 for 50% versus more than $25 worth of $5%?
I think he's going through this motion is because, number one, he says, I do recall that he does specifically say he can't afford a $10,000 to LAFCO. LAFCO. Okay, because he's got additional LAFCO to get out of our jurisdiction.
Yeah, I mean, from a legal perspective, one of the issues for me is that all of your property owners, when you're being charged a fee, are entitled to due process and process of law and equal protection under law and all that kind of thing. And it's one thing if you want to say, hey, he wants to remove his parcels from the district and the board goes along with that, then he can pay the $10,000 to LAFCO and go through their whole process to do that. And that's him spending his money to remove his property. That's okay. I mean, if the board agrees, obviously, everyone has the right to do that. I'd suggest to him, if he were to come in here, there's a few reasons why that might not be a good maneuver for him and his family for generations to come, but be that as it may, it's a different thing altogether. If you forgive him what he owes when you're standing by to deliver water to him, even though you tell him he can't build on it, he can run cattle on it, he can still get water from you to do what he wants on it and grow trees, whatever he's going to do, just as Calvin says, from an equal protection standpoint, why would you pay your standby, maybe because you're getting water, why would you pay your standby, or why would any vacant lot owner pay their standby if he's not going to do it? From a legal perspective, the reason you pay it, the reason you're allowed to collect it, is not arbitrary, not like the legislature just wanted to give you another way to make money. It's because you're standing by ready to serve those properties when and if they knock on the door and undertake all the other things that are required to do under the rules and regulations. So you're making service available to him. He's within your service area. You have a duty to serve him if he shows up and you got the water. So that puts those couple hundred acres in a different spot. And I think he did remove much of his other ground, right? I think he had even more land than this, and a bunch of it was, I think Sabrina from Krieger and Stewart told me that he's got, how many acres left, Ellie? A couple hundred? He has a couple hundred acres in the district now, but he used to have 1,000, and we pulled out 800 for him 10 years ago or something when the last go-around was, when the district was doing sort of a LAFCO thing. So you already gave him the 800-acre benefit on mostly on your dime. So.
Yeah, because a lot of that is behind the rock house, and it's all...
Right, and so the district decided to... So this is the 200 acres. It's probably some slope, but some of it's flat, too, or flatter, so...
Well, yeah, it goes all the way from... crossing down here all the way, except for an easement for Metro, all the way to the Bangin Airport. Just
down. Yeah.
Okay.
So there is some buildable ground in there. So.
Yeah. So I would say we deny that.
Well, he was, I think last year they still had the plans for that road to be open, and he was going to be getting rid of some of that for that road that was going to come through. Wasn't that some of it?
When that happens, then
we'll talk about it right now. I say we deny it. So I'm going to make the motion that we deny that claim.
One thing to note is, Ellie, when do you usually bring the standby charges adoption, you did that by resolution, right? When do you bring that resolution forward?
Usually the first week of August.
So August. So you'll probably hear about this again. I mean, the reason I think he's giving you notice is because you suggested to him last year, and when Sabrina and Ellie work on that standby resolution, once you write it up, it's kind of too late to fix it, and so he's giving you notice. So.
That's what I asked.
But you'll probably hear from him again in July or August, I expect.
The thing, too, is it's kind of like, this is kind of being ironic. He's had the property up for sale for, at one point, it was $11 million for the 1,100 change acres. It's like, well, if you think it's that valuable, then it must be valuable property to build on or do something. I wish I could have mine.
Did we have the note, his original, what he said? Because what he said did sway us back in August. Do we have that, Ellen? Can we get that? From the board packet?
No, it wasn't.
Because he had said something. We had something to read in front of us. And then we called him.
You have the resolution that's in here. The board meeting minutes, this is all out of the minutes. I don't record word for word.
No, I'm not saying word for word. I thought he gave us a document. I thought there was an email that had come through that we had from him in August, in that August packet. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to look through my own board packet.
Perhaps, but I don't have that right now. I have to go look.
Well, one other thing I might mention, if you ever run across this guy, obviously, people have their own things they want to do, $11 million for the property. But if he de-annexes from the district and he retains that property, and 20 years from now his kin want to develop, it's going to cost him so much more to get back in the district than this $1,000 he's paying a year. It's going to cost him 20 times more than that to get back in. And that's a tragedy for him. Again, a financial decision on his part, but that... Ooh, that's a tough one. I hope he's aware of that they're not going to just be able to knock on your door seeking service if they're outside the district.
So he currently can go to the LAFCO and disenfranchise from Cattleburg.
He needs your consent, basically. It's your district. He doesn't get to. But if you shook your head and say, okay, LAFCO, as long as he pays for it, pays whatever he needs to pay, and you guys are going along with it, I'm sure you could just sign a document.
He's not talking about that right now. He still wants to be on standby, just doesn't want to pay for it.
No, he wants to be off standby.
I think he wants to be in the district, but not pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we did draft a letter stating he has these choices. Stay in the district, pay in standby, remove himself from the district by going through LAFCO and paying those fees. But in the interim, if he decides later on to bring the property back in for service, he is going to be forced to pay a lot or whatever the going rate is to be annexed.
Yeah, so we can take direction from the board. You can either direct us to do that for you, or we could just remain silent. The board can just vote no right now, and then maybe the problem will go away. And if not, he'll come back, and we can, if he comes back in March or April and makes this argument and comes in person, then we can respond to him in writing. But it's up to you. We can do it now, too.
As soon as we table it until you draft the resolution, or just before you draft the resolution, give him the opportunity to come in and speak.
So, table this item, send the letter.
Let's catch one too. So I want to give him the due process per se to approach the board aside from a letter.
Because Steve, we've sent him a LAFCO letter, well, a letter regarding LAFCO back in 2014, didn't we?
Ellie's testing my feeble memory here. We probably did. This does sound familiar to me when we send him a letter. But if he calls again, maybe would you want us to recommend to him to come before the board and bring it all up to you again, or that's the question.
Well, I'd like to at least table this till next month and see if we can find that letter that you drafted the first time, so that we have more information. Then we can make a more rational, you know, what information already presented to them. Okay.
Can you also find the email from office?
I'll see if I can find it.
I'll look at my notes.
Okay. Next item is, here we go. So now I've got this on the right page here. Bailiff Ranch, oh, public comments. Give him my list. General manager, board comments, any comments, future agenda items?
Have we heard anything about
what?
The conference in Tahoe?
Tahoe conference?
We've going to recommend to the board that, of course, it's up to the board, but I think it would be saving some money if we not go this year, because we're really tight for money, and that's pretty much of a significant cost. And there are some other cost-cutting measures that we're also, Ellen and I, are working on, and we're recommending to the people doing the rate study and our new CPA. And another thing, a major thing that we want to do is we're going to demo and remove the ice house that we just purchased. But I think anything other than anything else that we're going to do that we like maybe wait to the next fiscal year. We're doing a cost of analysis right now versus the rent we're paying the county versus building a brick wall and a wrought iron fence and temporarily using it as a yard. I think Ellie is working on that, and she'll present the numbers, and we'll discuss it between the three of us and then bring it to the board. But that's another significant cost-cutting move that we're going to probably recommend. But if the board wants to override the Tahoe trip, then we'll work it in the budget.
Okay.
I have a comment. There was that class. I mean, if it's, I would propose sending the two board members who are going to still have a term on here after this year for the next 2 years of that, and even maybe Calvin. There was that general manager class for a public utility, and you came out of it certified and credentialed, and I thought it, when I sat in there, it was the best class I had sat in that whole time, and I tried to see if I could even pay my own way, like, to stay in there longer and come out certified, but that seemed like to have a lot of that knowledge versus the random other classes that we went to, which were all knowledgeable, but that seemed to be, it was a full, you were in there for the entire 3 days. That was the only class you were in. I don't know. I brought this up a couple months ago, and we decided to table it, but it's coming up. But if we could send maybe even just the three of you, like, I wouldn't go, or, you know, I'm not opposed to that. But I think that'd be good for you guys being on the board for the next 2 years, since you guys still have seats.
Perhaps the following fiscal year, we might be a little bit better, you know, financially. In fact, Ellie and I have gone as far as to see if we've met our contact hours to renew our operator license, or her D2 and my D3, and both of us have sufficient hours. I will be going to up north to UKIA, because they're giving a GIS using Google Map, and that's the only place they're offering it. But Google Map is free, so, you know, the district just be paying for my travel and lodging, and I think that'll be a good class and beneficial to us. If not, I mean, the other way of going GIS and doing it would be to actually purchase a GIS software. And as I said, right now we're a little strapped for cash, and also, you know, just to remind you, you know, it's going to be about $60,000 to $100,000 a year once we get that Sigma thing going, and you know, all y'all and the community wants to say in the future, you know, the cab is on some basis too.
Okay. Anything else? No board member comments. Miscellaneous future board items. Special meeting 31st. Financial audit. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
I think you're having an argument about